Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And thank you all for tuning in. Today on the Voice of Yoga, we will be talking about the full moon on April 19th, 2019 at 7:13 a.m. Eastern Time in Libra this Good Friday. Listen as we discuss the symbolism of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension as the essential stages in apotheosis. In this show, we will be exploring the phases in human development leading to spiritual understanding. The full moon delivers what the new moon promises. Stop by and pick up some useful information. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. Join the Kriya Yoga Spiritual Advance. Get the light in your soul and experience your process. So, Swami, the title of our show today is Full Moon, Good Friday for Balance. So what do we mean by balance with the full moon?
Yeah, balance is the interplay, I think, between matter, mind, and spirit. And it's an interesting thing because matter and mind, the balance that takes place under matter and mind is really the law of karma. It's what we're putting out is what we get back. Karma is the perfect accountant in that regard. But the balance that we want to achieve, which is absolute balance, comes under the law of spirit. That spiritual law, divine law, is absolute balance and harmony. And so what we're basically trying to do is we're trying to separate ourselves from the law of karma, and we're trying to rejoin ourselves with the divine law of life. And so these different levels of consciousness, different degrees of awareness are all experienced as we are moving towards this final revelation.
So when we're talking about the full moon, you're talking about the balance, and I think we understand about the law of karma. So does the full moon itself, does it give us extra energy for us to be able to maybe start making some changes?
Well, to answer your question, even the whole concept of extra energy, it all depends where we're functioning from, my level of consciousness. If we are sowing to the flesh, so to speak, and we are attached to things visible and tangible, then the moon has a huge influence on you. If you sow to the mind, if you are more mental and you are attached to things that are invisible but tangible, like energy, then again, the moon will have a big effect on you. But if you sow to the spirit and you are attracted to things that are invisible and intangible, then the moon will have very little effect on what it is that you are doing, because you will be under the divine law of life.
So I want to talk more about the balance. And I know we talk about this in other radio shows where we do want to try to lift ourselves up in our spiritual development, and yet at the same time we have to live in the world. So how do we go about finding that balance to be with the divine and yet still live in the world?
Well, I think the message is found here in the symbolism that is surrounds Easter, the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension. Yeah, because what they're talking about here with the symbolism of the crucifixion of the body, the resurrection of the Son, the reunion with the Father, is really this whole thing of apotheosis, this process of the human becoming divine. That most of us, because we don't really understand the message of divine love in Scripture, that we really try and do all of this stuff humanly. And that's one of the things that we've been talking about in these shows, is forsaking human thinking for divine knowing. When we are a human, we see ourselves as a separate entity and we're looking out into a world. Then what Scripture is suggesting and asking us to do is Herculean. And for the most part, we're trying to understand this from a level of consciousness that can't grasp it. You can't understand the infinite in the finite. It's like a caterpillar can't really tell you what it's like to be a butterfly. It's really not until you're a butterfly do you understand exactly what it is to be a butterfly, but you also have the experience of knowing what it was to be a caterpillar. And the same is true with human development, that as we are moving in our own process and our own individual experiences, to understand what it means to sow to the Spirit, to understand what it means to rise above the limitations of matter and mind, and to start to understand yourself as an eternal spiritual being, the more you start to see how this isn't the sacrifice that religion has kind of portrayed this to be, that it's really an upgrade to give up a personal sense of I. And to be under the rulership of divine law is an upgrade, because to live by grace really is to be in the finished kingdom of heaven while on earth. That we don't have to die to go to heaven, but we have to give up this personal sense of I, because as long as our identity is bound up in the limitations of matter and mind, then we will not be able to have attention for divine consciousness. And divine consciousness can't function in your consciousness if it is in the limitations of form. So the crucifixion of the body really symbolizes giving up this personal sense of I. And for a lot of us, that seems like a big stretch. But if you know what it is that you're going to get in return, and you also understand that the way Christianity laid it out in the New Testament, it's really a painless crucifixion for us to give up a personal sense of I. It's not what it was in the Old Testament. And that was the message of divine love. And the message of the New Testament, that we can do this relatively seamlessly, provided that we understand how to do it.
So it's not like we have to renounce civilization and live in a cave away from everything. We can still do it in today's world. We just have to realize that we don't sow to the flesh. We don't want to sow to the material aspect of our world.
Right, because again, what you're giving up is the experience of being a human looking out into a world. But now you are giving that up for an identity that now enables you to be the divine law of life looking into itself. And this is what dominion is all about, where all of a sudden now as a human being, you have, I want to say, a very limited understanding of control in your life. And for the most part, a lot of the big things, we have absolutely no control at all. But as we start to assume this spiritual sense of selfhood, and our identity realigns itself with a part of ourselves that is eternal, that always was and always will be, then it's really no sacrifice. And also, when you are out of the law of karma, there's no longer any struggle, there's no longer any competition, because you're dealing with the one divine law. You're dealing with a single power in this universe. And it's absolute good, it's absolute harmony, and it's absolute balance, which is the real message, I think, of this particular full moon.
So I wonder if you can go back a little bit, and you were talking about the divine looking in on itself, and I'm wondering if maybe you can just go over that again for us, just maybe get a little better understanding of what that means.
Yeah, see, we're starting out with the understanding that this concept of God, this one power, is all. And most scriptures will tell you that God is everywhere and in everything. And so the more that you can start to understand that if God is everywhere and in everything, then God is within me. And if God is everywhere and in everything, God is not only within me, but is completely without me. And so you start to see the function of this term, one. The one power, oneness, allness, that if there's one life in this universe, then the life of you is that one life. And so everything that you start to see is nothing more than an appearance of that one life.
I see. So I want to ask you another question along these same lines. So as we are trying to develop ourselves spiritually, there's going to be times when we're going to realize that we recognize something in the material world and realize that we're sowing to the flesh. Is it enough just to recognize that fact? I mean, will that help engage the consciousness to move forward every time we realize that?
Well, to answer your question, everything happens in degrees of understanding. That it sure does help to recognize that what you're looking at is not what it appears to be. That if you are seeing it, and most of the reason why we are witnessing sin, sickness, disease, crime, evil in the world, it is because we are in a mortal identity that we are actually looking out from that which in us is seeing something that isn't there. And we're basically hypnotized. And for us to start to recognize exactly what is happening, that is what facilitates our ability to awaken from this false sense of identity, from seeing the divine creative principle through a distorted human interference pattern that we call thinking.
I think this is a good place to pause to hear a word from our sponsor. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste. Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you are listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. Swami, what I'd like to do is head back to what we were talking about earlier, and that is the symbolism of the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension as those being the stages in apotheosis.
Yeah, typically, the developmental process has always been laid out in three phases. Like the hero's journey is the separation, the journey, the return. Even say, for example, the metamorphosis of a caterpillar. You have the caterpillar, then the chrysalis, and then the butterfly. And so these, symbolically, the symbolism that's found in Christianity with the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the ascension all points to the developmental process of apotheosis, the process of the human becoming divine, where we're going from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness.
So when we talk about the hero's journey, I know we did a show about that before, and I believe it was the journey of Hercules. So how does Hercules' journey, how does that compare to what the Christ had gone through?
Yeah, see, the main thing that we want to start to see is, on a very simplistic level, what is it that we're trying to accomplish? That we're trying to go from material values to mental values to eventually spiritual values. And this is something that happens in phases. How we're going to experience this and how it's going to happen for us. One of the things that, unfortunately, I think for our civilization is that we've taken rites of passage and points of passage out of the equation. That in earlier civilizations, that they had this stuff laid out, mapped out. And the result of this is that for the most part, we're chronologically aging, we're psychologically, spiritually remaining in an underdeveloped state. We're surviving, but we're not growing. And the institutions that were initially in charge of this development, this apotheosis, have failed so bad, our religions have failed us so bad that we no longer understand the message of Scripture. And so what we're trying to talk about here is how to take something that seemingly happened 2,000 years ago and make it functional in your life today. And it really starts, say, for example, with a lot of the symbolism that is found even, say, for example, with the astrology, that this particular full moon corresponds with Good Friday, that this full moon is going to be square Saturn. And the full moon is the delivery day for the new moon. Now, what I found to be very interesting about this is that both the new moon and the full moon our square Saturn. That the new moon, which was at 15 degrees Aries, was an applying square to Saturn at 20 degrees Capricorn. And in the full moon, the moon will be 29 degrees Libra, which means it will be a separating square to Saturn at 20 degrees Capricorn. And the moon and Saturn are very symbolic for the principles of manifestation, how things come into form. And the more we can understand this principle of manifestation, I think the more encouragement it gives us to separate from our identity with it. Because nothing can manifest whole. That in order for something to appear, it must split from unity. So this thing of Saturn being the principle of manifestation and the moon having a lot to do with instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, that we're really trying to learn how to overcome human thinking, period. And I think that's a hard lesson for a lot of us.
So is overcoming human thinking, would that be equivalent to the crucifixion of the body and or separation of the hero's journey?
Yeah, that's where we finally start to recognize that we're kind of like on a sinking ship. That as long as we continue to assume mortality as our identity, the sand is running out of the hourglass. And so it kind of brings a certain call to action. And with the benefit of scripture or with the benefit of teaching that was more in sync with the intention of these texts, that you develop strategies so that you can start to harmonize yourself with the energy that's available to you at a given time. And so, say, for example, Good Friday is a great time for us to really start to lift consciousness out of its material moorings.
Mm-hmm. So when we do that, then we would move into that next phase of the journey and the resurrection, what we used to talk about before, the resurrection of the Christ. That would be like the next step. And what would that look like in our physical world?
Yeah, see, that's where you separate the mind from the confinement and limitation of body awareness. Even on a human level, as you start to move from instinct, appetite, preservation, and survival, and you move into human intelligence, where you are starting to use your mental functions, perception, reason, memory, intuition, then you are evolving. You are growing. And then as we move into the higher mind, which is basically the world mind, Sagittarius, you have an identity that has expanded beyond just I, me, mine. You are no longer just self-absorbed. Now you are more worldly minded, granted, and you are still under the law of karma, but you are growing. And then the final stage of this is where it's found in the ascension, which is when you're moving from Sagittarius, the ninth house, or the higher mind, into the 12th house, and Pisces, and divine mind. And now you are starting to learn how to think in the absolute. You are starting to move from your outer five senses into an understanding of your inner spiritual soul sense. And from that level of understanding, you can start to forsake the testimony of your five senses. Here you are a human looking out into a world, and you turn your attention inward where you now are spirit. You are the one divine life of this universe, looking into yourself. And when you are doing this, you are completely changing how you're thinking. You're now thinking with divine mind, which now deals with the absolute, as opposed to mortal mind or human mind, which deals with duality and the rational.
So when we get to that final stage, we talk about the return of the hero's journey and then the ascension to the Father. And again, we're talking a different level of consciousness, which would require us to have a different modes of thinking.
And also different levels of understanding, different levels of experience, that everything starts to change. Because what it is that we hold in our consciousness is what we're going to externalize in the outer picture of our physical experience.
So it sounds to me like really conduct has really nothing to do with us developing spiritually.
Right. And I think that's a big part of the old theology, the Ten Commandment kind of mentality, where we were doing this as a human, looking for credit from some distant authoritarian figure that was going to reward and punish. Once you start to understand that that old theology wasn't really talking about the one true God, that was basically talking about the law of karma. It's the law of karma that rewards and punishes. And conduct is very influential in that arena. But as you start to move out from this limited understanding of seeing ourselves as a finite mortal being, and you assume spiritual identity, you move into the higher law of spirit. And spirit is just absolute goodness. And all it does is give out eternal life, eternal happiness, and that is really what we really want to try and achieve.
So if we try to do, say, good deeds, wouldn't that perpetuate that coming back to us? Like, I think there's a saying that whatever you put out, you get back.
Yeah. What you're really trying to do is you're trying to create the like attracts like. See, you cannot be in discord. You cannot be in contradiction to divine law and have a hospitable environment to invite divine law into your consciousness. So in order for us to work with the conduct, you need the conduct to make the connection, but it's not about the conduct. If that's all you focus on without the connection, you will just be a good human on the human scene. But you will still be under the law of karma and you will not move into the protection that comes with spiritual identity, the protection and the power that we get with being under the government of divine law.
So we have to know how we are truly created. And then we have to have an understanding of what that means.
Right. We have to know ourselves in the way that we're created in order for us to be able to allow divine law to function in our consciousness. And so that's where I think the big learning curve is, because that's the like attracts like.
And then why wouldn't you want that? Right? As you were saying earlier, that it does open up a whole new world for us to operate from that level of consciousness.
And it's optimal. It is never going to get better than to walk in the kingdom of heaven on earth.
Well, I think that's a great place that we can start ending our program for this morning. So listeners, be sure to visit the website www.ipdtransform.com. And when you're on that website, there's lots of tools that you can click on to further your spiritual development and understanding. And don't forget, Swami also has on Wednesdays a free webinar at noon and our Facebook Live we do every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So Swami, before we end, do you have any final thoughts about today's program?
Well, I would like to encourage everybody to stay in the spirit of truth, to understand themselves as the reflection of the divine, perfect, harmonious, whole, peaceful, and well. And with that, I wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton along with Swami Jayananda signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.